Why don't you take your Bible tonight, please, and turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, the 15th chapter. I think the choir just about outdid themselves tonight, don't you? That was good. That was good. Thank you, choir and orchestra. Wonderful job. I'd like to begin reading in the first verse here. And I want you to notice the joy and the happiness. And I want you to notice the word rejoicing. And I want you to notice just the good thoughts and good heart, good attitude, good spirit. Just notice what's going on here. In verse 1, the Bible says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." Well, I'm sure glad he does, aren't you? Verse 3, "And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go out after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house, and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost." Now listen carefully. Here's the verse that I'm going to preach on tonight. "Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." Now I want you to listen very carefully tonight. I'm not going to use humor or illustrations in order to tell you what's on my heart tonight. And I'm not going to do a whole lot to make you pay attention, so you're going to have to pay attention on your own. But I promise you, there's a great thought here. And I want you to see it. I want you to get it. And I want you to understand the message tonight. I'm going to entitle the sermon tonight, Angels Rejoicing in Heaven. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you now for this time together. And Lord, as we have now gathered around the table of the Lord, we ask, Father, that you will bless and minister the food to our strength and encouragement and help. And Lord, we're so thankful that we have a Bible to preach from that's the Word of God. And Lord, we don't have to stand up here tonight and expound our own philosophy, but Lord, we can take the principles of Thy Word, and these are eternal truths, eternal principles. And Lord, we're so thankful for them. And I pray that you'll bless tonight as the Word of God is preached. Father, give us a heart to receive the Word. Give us, Lord, a real desire to pay attention and to glean some things here tonight. But Lord, I'm sure if folks will listen and pay attention, they'll get something that will feed their souls tonight. So, Father, do that in our midst and just bless us in a great way. May we leave here tonight rejoicing because of what we've learned from Thy Word. And, Lord, because You have been here in the service with us. So, guide and direct now, Father, and we'll give You praise and glory for what's accomplished. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, let me read that 10th verse to you once again. It says, "Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." We have a verse here, and if we did not have this verse, if the Lord Jesus did not say this verse and Luke record it, we would not know a single thing about the information that Luke is sharing with us. There's no way that we would know that there's rejoicing in heaven among the angels when a person gets saved. There's no way we would know that had not the Lord Jesus told us about it in this verse. Now I want you to think about that. All we know about the angels in heaven, we know because of what the Bible tells us. None of us have ever been up there to witness and see how the angels conduct themselves. None of us have ever seen the angels of God. And so the only thing we know about them is what the Bible tells us about them. A few years ago, with the onset of the New Age influence in our world, our society, our world, became fascinated with angels. Television programs came out which showcased angels dealing with people and helping them as they went through and faced the struggles of life. There were movies that were made by Hollywood that portrayed angels coming to aid and assist people who had to deal with the problems and troubles of life. And then songwriters were writing songs about angels, and all of the little shops were selling these little figurines of angels, and they were all the rage across our land. Well, I want you to know, folks, that I believe that angels are real. And I believe that because of what the Bible tells me. I believe everything the Bible says about them. There are people today that have written books and have given testimony and claimed that they have been visited by angels. I've read some of the claims that people have made where they said that this angel appeared and comforted and consoled them in their hour of great distress. And I'll be honest with you, I have a great deal of problem with that. And the reason I do is because Paul said that men have entertained angels, but have done so unawares. You may have entertained angels in your lifetime, but if you did, you did not know that it was an angel you were talking to. That's what the word unawares means. You did not know what was going on. Now, we learn something very interesting here in our text verse. For the Lord Jesus said that there is joy in the presence of angels over one sinner that repents. And how would we know that unless Jesus told us so in this verse right here? We don't know all that is going on in the realms beyond our vision and beyond this earth. And I can assure you that they know what's going on down here, but we don't know what's going on up there. We cannot see into heaven and know all the things that transpire there, but it seems that heaven can see us, and they are fully aware and know everything that is happening down here. But if you look at that 10th verse, in these first 10 verses of the 15th chapter, the Lord uses words like joy and rejoicing several times to describe the feeling that a person has whenever they found something that was lost. And with these illustrations, the Lord Jesus says that whenever a lost sinner comes to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, even among the angels in heaven, there is rejoicing, and they are filled to the brim with joy. What a great truth. What a great thing the Lord is saying here. But I read these verses this week, and when I read the verse, I realized that I had preached on the first part of this, and I had preached on the middle part of this, and I preached on the lost sheep that was gone and later found. I've preached on the 10 pieces of silver, and one of them was lost and found, and I've preached on it from that standpoint. And I've read this verse multitudes of times, and probably even read it when I preached on this passage of Scripture. But then, as I read it, I got to thinking to myself, well, why are they rejoicing? Why would the angels be rejoicing over a soul coming to know Christ as personal Savior? And I got to thinking about it, and wrote down some thoughts, and I want to share some things with you tonight. Now, for the message this evening, let's ask ourselves why the angels rejoice when some old dirty, rotten sinner comes to Christ
and repents of his sin and puts his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, they rejoice because it reminds them of a past event. They rejoice because it reminds them of a past event. You say, well, Pastor, what in the world are you talking about? I'm talking about the fact that the angels were present when God Almighty spoke and created this world out of nothing and brought it into existence. Let me explain what I mean. I want to remind you that when the Lord God of heaven spoke and created the world, the angels of heaven were witnesses to this great deed. I want you to imagine the angels of heaven watching as God hung the stars and spun the planets into orbit around them. I want you to imagine that the angels are watching as God spoke and said, "Let there be light," and there was light, and God saw that it was good. I want you to imagine that the angels are standing there watching all this, and that all God has to do is speak, and whatever He commands to take place happens immediately, and the angels stand and watch as God creates an entire universe from absolutely nothing. And boy, they clap their hands together and they exclaim, as did the Old Testament psalmist, "Who is like unto thee, O great Jehovah?" And of course, there is none like him. You see, the angels were there to witness the mighty act of creation. They saw the Lord create the sun to rule by day and the moon to rule by night. They watched as God did everything that He did in that creation week. And they clapped their hands together in amazement and cried with the psalmist, "Creator, Thou art to be magnified, for Thy mercy endureth forever." They watched as God took the dust of the earth that He had made and created a human being from that dust. Oh, think about it, dear friend. It was so spectacular that God made the universe from nothing, but then to make man from the dust of the ground, a man that could walk and talk and think and reason and love and fellowship with his Creator. It's absolutely amazing when you stop and think about it. So when the angels witnessed God creating man, they rejoiced to see His work, for they knew that only God could do what was being done. So now, when the angels see a sinner repent, it reminds them of creation all over again and causes them to see the glory and the power and the greatness and the magnificence of God the Father. For you see, repentance is a new creation. Repentance is a new creation. No sinner ever repents without God making in him a new heart and a right spirit. I don't know that ever since the day when God made the world, with the exception of when God makes new hearts, that the angels have ever seen God make anything else. Oh, He could, if He so chose to do so, He could create, but He has not chosen to do so. But perhaps the only instance of new creation that the angels have witnessed since that first creation week, is the creation of a new heart and a right spirit within the bosom of a repentant sinner. It's no wonder the angels rejoice as they realize that God has done that work and nothing else could. Do you understand what I'm saying, Christian? Am I the only one that's got the blessing out of this? Man, I came unglued in my office Friday morning. I'm just praising God, saying, "Wow, look at this. God reached out in love and mercy, and He redeemed me." I mean, He took an old sinner on his way to hell, and in His love and grace, He created within me a new heart. And that's why the angels are standing in heaven saying, Amen. This is great. They're rejoicing over what God has done. You see, the first time when God created the world, God said, this is good. God said, this is good. And He got all the way through the 6 days of creation. And on the seventh day, He rested. He looked back over His work and said, this is very good. God was excited at the work of His hands. But as soon as the serpent came to Eve, it didn't take long before God said in the 6th chapter of Genesis, I will destroy man from off the face of the earth. And ever since Adam plunged the human race into sin, God hasn't been able to say that His creation is very good. God can only say the truth about what He sees, and what He sees is a world that has been bitten and polluted by the poisonous serpent and poisoned by the serpent's deadly venom. But at salvation, the curse of sin is removed, and once again, God can look down upon us, blood washed, saved, redeemed, on our way to heaven, and know that it wasn't because of anything we did, it wasn't because of anything that anybody else did, it was all because of God's divine grace, and God can now look at us, redeemed by the blood of His Son, and God can say, that's good. That's good. So the angels can rejoice when somebody gets saved, and they can praise God's name, and they can give Him glory. Why? Same reason for creation. He brings life out of death. He brings life out of death. Oh, listen. Those angels, they see a whole lot more than we do. Somebody gets saved now. What were the 14 saved this morning? I heard about 1.5 half amens. Had 14 saved this morning. Man, I'll guarantee you there was some rejoicing in heaven when those 14 souls got saved this morning. Second reason why they rejoice. You knew there just wouldn't be one. Second reason why they rejoice. They rejoice because they know what the sinner has escaped. I just wrote some things down. That's what come to mind. The angels know better than any of us just how awful and horrible hell is. You see, they were there in heaven when the devil lured 1/3 of the angels to rebel against God. And they witnessed firsthand the wrath and judgment of God as He cast the devil out of heaven and then gave him assurance that he would one day be cast into hell because of his rebellious, sinful heart. Can any of us even imagine how horrible hell will be? You see, we cannot see beyond the veil into heaven. Nor can we see beyond the veil into hell. But we can read the Bible. And as we read the Bible, we can know just how horrible the dungeon of lost souls will be. We should be thankful, folks, that we cannot see or hear into hell, for the wailings of the eternally damned would haunt us and make us most miserable. But think for a moment. Think what Paul said concerning heaven. In 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9, Paul said, I have not seen, neither ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. And you know, I think you could probably flip that thing around and you could say, I think you could, it could be said of those that have rejected Christ, that the hell they will have to suffer, no eye has seen, neither has ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of any man the things which God has prepared for them that reject Him. It's going to be an awful place. Our minds just cannot conceive how horrible the sufferings will be. You see, in our minds, when we think of suffering, we think, boy, there's a limit. and then you die. There's a limit, and then you can't take it anymore, and you die. But not so with hell. The only thing in hell, the only death in hell, is death itself. And for all eternity, those that have rejected Christ will suffer beyond human comprehension. Our minds just cannot conceive how horrible the sufferings will be. But the angels know the terribleness of this matter. They know. They remember, listen to me now, they remember the look on the Father's face when Satan rebelled and led a charge to the throne of heaven. They have not forgotten the red right hand of God thundering down upon the devil's rebellion when Satan and his followers were cast from the highest to the lowest, and multitudes of those angels were ushered by the other angels who did not follow Lucifer, and multitudes of those angels were led to a place where God has prepared for the devil and his angels. You read the book of 2 Peter, and you'll read that in a lower compartment of hell, there is a whole host of angels reserved. How did they get there? How did they get there? They fell when Satan fell. And every one of those good angels that did not follow the rebellion were probably there to watch and usher those ones into that pit where they're sealed and will be sealed until the day of judgment. So don't you think that they saw what hell was really like? Don't you think, dear friend? I mean, I can imagine that many, if not all of them, got a glimpse into the fiery blast. And I don't know for sure, but I can imagine that when they came back to heaven, they stood in silent awe at the severity and wrath of God against them. They probably came back after taking those angels down and dropping them off in the pit, came back to heaven and stood with their wings folded over their faces, daring not to look into the face of the wrath of God. So it's no wonder that when a sinner repents, there's rejoicing among them. For they realize that the newly blood-washed sinner will never have to go to that awful place of torment and sorrow. For they had looked into the jaws of that pit, and they had seen their own kind being thrown into its bellowing fire. And so they rejoice when a sinner comes to Jesus because they know that one less soul is now going to be food for the worm that dieth not. One more precious soul has escaped out of the mouth of the roaring lion. But then there's a third reason. They rejoice because they know what the joys of heaven are like. You know, much of what we know about heaven is from a purely aesthetic perspective. Gates of pearl. That's some oyster make a pearl that big, isn't it? Gates of pearl, walls of jasper, streets of gold, so pure you can see right through it. Imagine that. We kill one another down here over gold. We're going to walk on it when we get to heaven. Your own mansion to live in? That's pretty good trade, isn't it? And all that's nice. Don't get me wrong. I'm looking forward to all of that. But wait a minute, folks. There's a whole lot more to heaven than just the aesthetic perspective. And the angels know what heaven is really like. That's why they rejoice. You see, they've been there since the beginning. They've been there and they know what it's like to live in the presence of God Himself. And if an angel could speak to us in heaven, he would smile and he would say, you know all those fine things you heard from John in the book of the Revelation? All that is only a small fraction of what a wonderful place the Lord has prepared for you. You got to remember now, they've been there since before there was a universe. And John, with his mortal eye, saw things that just astound the mind and make us realize that when we get there, it is really going to be someplace special. But the verse that I quoted a little while ago, Paul told us, we have no idea. Our minds cannot comprehend it. Can I remind you that Paul said he knew a fellow. He was talking about himself. But he said, I knew a fellow that went up into the third heaven, and he said he saw things up there that it's just not mindful to talk about. Why was it not? Because you and I, we can't fathom that. Folks, listen. All these aesthetic things that you've heard about heaven, that's enough to make us want to go there. But let me tell you something. It's just like Solomon, like the queen said of Solomon, and of course, speaking prophetically of Jesus, the half has not yet been told. You haven't even conceived a 16th of what it's going to be like. Just to be in the presence of God. We often focus on what will be there. But think about the things that won't be there. I mean, all the things that make us miserable and sad and afraid and depressed and sick and confused, they're not going to be in this wonderful place. No sin, no sorrow, no death, no cancer, no arthritis, no blindness, no deafness, no drugs, no alcohol, no darkness, no despair. There will be an absence of all the things that have caused us to suffer and to live miserable lives. Not going to be there. Hell, the prison house of despair. Here are some things that won't be there. No flowers will bloom on the banks of hell. No beauties of nature we love so well. No comforts of home, music, or song. No friendship or joy will be found in that throng. No children to brighten the long, weary night. No love, no peace, nor one ray of light. No blood-washed soul with face beaming bright. No loving smile in that region of night. No mercy, no pity, no pardon or grace. No water. Oh God, what a horrible place. The pangs of the lost no human can tell. No moments of ease. There is no rest in hell. Hell, the prison house of despair. Here are some things that will be there. Fire and brimstone are there, we know. For God in His Word hath told us so. Memory, remorse, suffering, and pain. Weeping and wailing. But all are in vain. Blasphemer, swearer, hater of God. Christ rejecter, while here on earth trod. Murderer, gambler, drunkard and liar will all have their place in the lake of fire. The filthy, the vile, the cruel, and the mean, what a horrible mob in hell will be seen. Yes, more than humans on earth can tell are the torments and woes of an eternal hell. Man, I'm glad I'm saved, aren't you? One more thing before I close. They rejoice because they know what the joys of heaven are like. But let's look at the verse one more time. Look at your Bible, please, the 10th verse. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of angels, of the angels of God, over one sinner that, what's the next word? Repenteth. Now, folks, now listen to me. I want you to put your thinking caps on. I want you to get, if you didn't get anything else I said tonight, I want you to get this. I want you to see this point. Notice the angels rejoice over one sinner that repenteth. Why don't they wait? Think now, listen. Why don't they wait until a person gets to heaven and then rejoice. No, the Lord Jesus said they rejoice as soon as the sinner repents. Now you listen to me now. I can help you understand God's salvation a little bit better if you'll just listen to what I'm going to say. I wish that all of that these Arminians, I wish that these Arminians could go up to heaven and see the rejoicing angels. You say, Arminians, what's that? That's these people that believe you can get saved and then lose your salvation. You get saved, but then you sin, and oh, you've lost it, you've got to get saved again. No. No, I give unto them eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, what does everlasting mean? It means it lasts forever. It just might get these folks straightened out on the doctrine of eternal security if they understood what Jesus was saying here. These angels rejoice as soon as a person gets saved. And if the Arminians were honest with themselves, they would think the angels have rejoiced prematurely. For they say a man can repent, but then if he sins again, he is lost and he needs to then repent again. Brethren, listen, the angels don't stand up in heaven and rejoice over and over and over the same soul. They rejoice one time. Why? Because that one time is all you need. How many times did Jesus die on the cross? One time. Are you saying that His death was not sufficient, so therefore you have to do it over again? No. His death on the cross forgives all of your sins. Your past sins, your present sins, and even the ones that you haven't even committed yet. You are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. They say you can lose the salvation that God freely gives to those that repent of sin and place faith in the finished work of Christ. And if Mr. Arminius is in heaven, I guarantee you he is not teaching that doctrine today. He is straightened out on his theology. The angels in heaven would laugh him to shame. The reason why angels rejoice is because they know that when a sinner repents, he is absolutely saved. For all eternity he's saved. The moment a person repents of sin and calls upon the name of the Lord, every sin is forgiven. The penalty is taken away from you and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin. Many years ago, I was asked to go to the hospital to visit a relative of one of my church members. And I went to the hospital and found the room and went inside, and there was a little lady in the bed. She was in her 70s. She was so weak, so thin, so frail. And from the look on her face, I knew that she did not have long on this earth. When I gave her the gospel, tears filled those little sunken eyes. She said, Pastor, I'd like to be saved before I die. She said, but I have led such a wicked life. And I just smiled real big and I said, that's okay. God can forgive you no matter what you've done. She looked at me and she said, really? And I said, yes, ma'am. And I turned over to that passage of Scripture and read to her where it said, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven men. And she still was not totally convinced. So I turned to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and I started reading to her about the Corinthians and how they were murderers and liars and adulterers and fornicators and the whole nine yards. I read all that and I said, look here, it says,
and such were some of you. But now ye are washed. Now ye are clean. Now ye are forgiven. I said, ma'am, if God can forgive that bunch of sinners, don't you think God can forgive you? And boy, the tears started to just pour out of her eyes. And she looked up at me and she said, well, yes, I suppose God can forgive me. I suppose He can. And I said, well, then let me lead you in a sinner's prayer and you can call upon the Lord. And so she grabbed my hand and I prayed and then led her in praying. And she closed her eyes and the tears just flowed out of her eyes. And she prayed their sinner's prayer and repented before God. And she was saved. Now, question. Did the bells ring down at the courthouse in Charleston? No. Did all the high schools bring out their marching bands and parade in front of the hospital, throw a big celebration because this 70-year-old lady called on Jesus and got saved? No. No. Did the hospital staff all come and stand around the room and all applaud and clap their hands and say, whoo, isn't this great? No. No. But I tell you where there was rejoicing. There was rejoicing in heaven because that little old sinner gal called on the only name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And when by faith she called upon the name of the Lord and God miraculously and graciously created a new creature in Christ, the angels stood back and applauded and said, only God could do that. The angel stood back and rejoiced and said, there's one that doesn't have to go to hell. And the angel stood back and applauded and said, praise the Lord, there's a soul that's now coming to heaven. And that's why, dear friends, there's rejoicing in heaven over just one old sinner that comes to know Christ as his personal Savior. Bow your heads with me, please.